Well, good morning. Pastor Paul is at a camp. He's leading worship, speaking, meeting kids. Need to pray for him this morning. Talked to him early and just he longs to be here, but yet God's using him there, and that's a good thing. So we want to remember to pray for him as he returns and God uses him there. Just a couple reminders real quick. We're glad you're with us today. Man, I pray you come with expectancy. I pray that that's part of who you are. We want to remind you, last week we mentioned the issue of nursery help. Some of you have signed up to serve. The table in the back still has those or spaces. We really need people. It's the frontline ministry of our church. It's a frontline as people come, as visitors come, as guests come. Our nursery, our people need to be there with bright, shiny faces on and their aprons and ready to go. And so if you're willing to say, yeah, I'll take an hour a month, that's really what it is, one of the services a month, we'd ask you to sign up in the back. Ask you just to be a part of that. You will be contacted, and we would encourage you to do so. Also, next Sunday morning, right after the second service, after this service, our small group leaders have a meeting. If you're here, and many of you have been in small groups, and you're saying, hey, you know, we've talked to you about taking that step to becoming a leader or a secondary leader, you're welcome to join us for that short meeting right after the service next Sunday. Our small group leaders and their wives, we want you to encourage you to be here. It'll be short and sweet. But we really just need to set it out where we're going. We're excited about some of the changes we kick off again as we reinforce the church, not just with life groups, but a church of life groups. Life groups are our lifeblood. This is a great kind of the appetizer, but life takes place in our life groups. People grow together in our life groups, so we want to encourage you to do that. We've been in the book of Proverbs. The Proverbs, looking at the principles of today's living. The principles of Proverbs. What does it mean? And really, the issue of the word, what is Proverbs all about? And Proverbs is about godly living today. How do we live today? What's wisdom for living today in this world? It's not just about heaven. It's not just about, boy, when we get there, great. It's about how do we live this day? We've looked at different things in Proverbs, different principles. We've looked at relationships, the relationships that we have with one another, the relationship that we have with God, the relationships that we engender with others as well. We looked last week at the issue of laziness. Boy, wasn't that a great time, looking at laziness. The issue that the Proverbs speaks a lot about the sluggard. That word in Proverbs is huge. Talks about not just physical. Somebody said, well, I'm not lazy, so I got that covered. But we looked at the three elements of laziness. There's the laziness that's in a mental way, that we just kind of disengage our brains and we don't think about the things of God. We don't even question so many things that we hear. Does that really make sense? Does that rhyme? Does that make sense? Does it reason with the things of the Word? Do we just buy the philosophy of this world and say, oh yeah, that's what we need to live by? Or do we really engage our brain to say, God, this is what it's all about? Does that ring true to your Word? We talked about physical laziness. Yet there are those who need to understand that you need to work. Consider the ant, you sluggard. There's nobody that needs to look over you. It needs to be intrinsic within us. That ethic of working, that ethic of saying, man, I'm going to realize that God's given me breath, the very breath. Some are givers, some are takers, but within that there's a physical part that God says you need to work. You need to get out and you need to be a part of life. Don't just sit and expect others to take care of you, but you need to impact others. You need to be in physical labor. You need to be physically working. The issue, and of course, all of this was in balance. We looked at that last week. It's not about out of balance. But we also look at spiritual laziness. That we think, well, you know, we talk about that selective sluggardness. You may say, well, I got the physical side down, man. I got my mind going. How about spiritually? Are you spiritually lazy? Have you put things on the shelf? Have you said, well, I haven't been in church in a long time, or I haven't been in the Word a long time, and we put things on the shelf? Now, listen, I don't say that to beat you up. In fact, I say just the opposite. If you look at that and say, okay, I have been spiritually maybe lazy, how do I say, you sit back and say, okay, God, thank you for letting me see that. Dust yourself off. Get up. Don't beat yourself up about it. Get up and say, thanks, God, for forgiving me. Thanks for making me whole. Thanks for saying there's a new day. The issue of our spiritual laziness. Now today, if you're a guest, I don't want to apologize because it comes right out of God's Word. But I don't want you to think today that this is what we talk about all the time, because it is not. And you'll have to come back to find that out. But I warned you guys last week, it fits right in line with laziness, because the principles of Proverbs, right out of Proverbs that we're looking at today, are the principles of money and possessions. The need for Proverbs within that. The Bible has a lot to say about money and possessions. In fact, it says more about money than any other single topic in the Word. Now, I don't want you to sit there and say, oh boy, here we go, I'm going to get blasted. Well, we're all going to get blasted. The issue of money is one where it is easy to find the extremes. On one hand, it's easy to see where prosperity theology takes place, where it comes from. It's really simple. Turn on the TV. Most of the TV preachers you see are prosperity theology, and what it's all about is you're prospering them. Send in this, send in that, you're prospering them. But it's easy to get that. We hear of God's blessing. We hear of God's word saying, opening the storehouse of heaven, statements about just asking, name it, claim it, you name it, you'll get it. God wants you healthy. God wants you wealthy. God, you should never be disappointed. God wants you happy. It's easy to fall into that, but that's only one extreme. On the other extreme, on the other hand, there's just as many individual verses that some take and what it's called pauper theology. I call it pauper theology. It's actually called austerity theology that says you should have nothing, that you should give everything away, that you don't need anything, and that, you know, this pauper theology. And they take the verses that Jesus had nowhere to lay his head, and the rich young ruler, you know, you give it all to the poor, give it all to the needy, deny self. And pretty soon in the austerity theology, pauper theology comes where money is bad, because you shouldn't have it. And therefore, the people who have money have to be bad, because they got it. Now, either extreme there, and Proverbs comes. The key is to find balance in this issue. The key is to find balance on the issue. Thus the verse of Proverbs. Thus the book of Proverbs. It says, we are given wisdom in regards to money for today's living, the need for balance. It speaks of the blessing of money and what possessions are blessed, and then it speaks of the curse that money can bring as well. What it is and what it isn't. Do we need it? What can it do? What it can't do? Now this morning, I want you to remember who you love. I want you to, because you're going to need to remember that, I'm afraid, today. So I need to borrow a bill. I mean like a $1, $5, $10. Don't come up here with a wad. So which of you people are going to give me a bill? I want a bill. Bring it up here. Find a bill. Now, Jacob's reaching for his wallet. You better only bring me one, Jacob. Don't bring me your wad, because Kent made the mistake. No, you have to come up here too. Come here, Jacob. Kent made the mistake last service of coming up here, and he had a bunch of them, so I chose the largest. That's a $2 bill. Wow. You really want to use that bill? So it's all God's. Okay, here you go. So what I want you to remember, I want you to sit, right, just put it down there. I want you to write, okay, because this is important. Big, I love my pastor. I love my pastor. Love my pastor. Get it all on there. Okay, you can take that now. See this? We got it. I love my pastor. Who do you love? Pastor. Okay. Okay. You can't keep my pen. Take your $2 and sit back down. All right, now listen. You're going to need to remember that perhaps on today's message. You love your pastor, okay? Because I'm not the one that's creating any of this. I'm just the messenger here. I don't want you to, don't shoot the messenger here, because we're going to run through some principles today, and it's not intended at all to be guilt-inducing, though if it's convicting by the Spirit of God, that's a whole different ballgame. But I want you to admit, who do you love? Pastor. Okay, you'll be reminded of that. So I want to look. God wants us to get this right. I'm excited about today's message. I know most people, and I don't speak a lot about money. You who are here know that. We don't even pass a plate. Our offering is boxes are in the front and the back. If you want to give, I believe God will lay it on your heart to give. There's envelopes. We don't hit a lot about it. You can give by text. You can give online. But we don't usually preach about giving. It's not something. However, I'm not embarrassed about it, because it is a principle of God's word that really brings freedom and joy. The Bible has a lot to say about possessions. Now, God must have known that was going to be struggles in our lives. He must have known it would cause, because he is not quiet on the subject. And godly wisdom that we find is brilliant and timeless. And when followed, operative word there, is it not? It doesn't say when known, but when followed. Not just knowing what God says about it, but when it's followed, it brings freedom, joy, and peace. So I want to look at some of the Proverbs, the principles we find in Proverbs. Who do you love? Pastor, thank you. This pastor. You don't love Pastor Paul, he's not here right now. I'm the guy, okay? All right, so the issue of remembering who you love here is for me. But I want to run through this, and I realize in the first service, I have way too much material. So Charlene, just hang with me. We may blow by. I'll give the address for some of these verses, and we may not go to it. If you have your phone or a piece of paper or whatever, your Bible, you can open up. Or better yet, just write some of these verses down, tap them in or whatever. because I want to get through it this morning, and we may not look at all of the verses. First off, know what matters most. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 4. Go ahead and pull that one up. Go ahead and pull that one. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. You've got to know what matters most. Now, let me be realistic here just for a moment. I am not some super spiritual sainthood guy. You know, I understand that, listen, money can make situations easier. Can it not? Oh, absolutely it can. It's not more spiritual not to have money. Money can make things easier. Some of you don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. Some of you say, I need that, I'll go get it. Whether I need it or not, or you want it, you'll go get it. But some of you, you say, oh man, I need to get a tire on my car. I need to trust God. How am I going to get this tire? Some of our need levels are different. Some of you say, well, I really need this. And yet somebody else will say, that is not a need. That's a want. But it's not a need. Now, those who have money, it can make situations easier. Much easier. But it may also give those who have money a sense of false security, can it not? This issue of a false security, I got this money in the bank, as if we're secure. It may grow fear. What happens if I lose it? You don't have to have the fear of not losing it if you don't have it. Whoa, what if I lose that which I don't have? Oh, no. But let me tell you, whether you have it or not, your money or lack thereof doesn't make you, you. It doesn't give any more value to who you are, nor does it take away any value to who you are. Those who have should not value themselves or esteem themselves higher than someone who doesn't. And those who don't should not say, well, I'm nothing. No, because our value doesn't come from what we have. It comes from who we are in Christ. We are to value each person we come to, whether they have a lot, whether they're wearing the finest or whether they're wearing the rags. We are to value them the way God does. We are to love them the way God does. We need to have the pride of them. It doesn't matter. Those things we matter. Less stuff, more of you. That's what people need to see. That's what our families need to see. What matters most are the relationships that we have, the time we spend. Does Jesus or eternity matter to us? Man, I'm not going to spend much time on this, but my brother, he manages a storage company. I have learned so much about storage. Oh my gosh, what really matters? He's telling me that there are people who have paid for years and years and years, $100 or more dollars a month, that have stuff in storage and they've never been back in it. But they pay. And they have those storage wars on TV and all that stuff. He says, that's all set up anyway. But the reality is, they do that there, and someone will stop paying, they'll break the log, and they'll be jammed with boxes and boxes and boxes of old clothes. Paying for old clothes. Listen, we need to know what matters most. I'm not saying it's bad to have a storage facility. But where do we stop saying, okay, we just don't need this? Where do we start that? Another principle that's given in Proverbs is now, now, now. And listen, that's found in chapter 13, verse 11, but it says no matter what the cost. See, we've gotten to the point now, we don't deal with what the cost. We want it now, now, now. No delayed gratification, no praying about something. We have fallen into this society, a monthly payment trap. It is not about whether we can afford it, what the total price is, after the interest, after all the things. We say, can it fit in my budget monthly? We fall into that monthly budget. Well, I got $3 at the end of, written on paper, I got $3 left at the end of my budget. So I can buy that because it's only $5 a month and I'll squeeze from someplace else. Unfortunately, it's not usually in those terms, is it? It's in terms of 100 or more. But we need to learn this delayed gratification issue. Now listen, things are not bad. Please don't walk away from here thinking things are bad. I like things. But things need to have the right priority in our life. The question must be asked on some of the things that we want. And I'm going to step on toes. Remember who you love? Thank you, me. You better, okay, remember this. The question must be asked, if I purchase this, if I add this to my toy list, if I add this to my life, will it change or will I be tempted to change my walk with God because of it? Will I be tempted to change my walk with God? Things are not evil. Things aren't just automatically good or bad. It's what we do with them. And there are those who come to the point of saying, well, it's not bad, it's not good, and that's fine, but we need to ask, will this tempt me to change my walk with God? You say, give me an example. I'll give you an example. Over many, many years of ministry. Some of that is, okay, well, you know what, man, I really want a boat. Or I really want an RV. There's nothing wrong with those who own any of that. But I'm telling you so many times, it says, no, we're not going to, oh no, it's not going to encroach upon our Sunday. It's not going to encroach upon our time with God. And I'm not talking about going on vacation. I'm all for that. I am all for you taking time, get away, refresh. I am all for that. However, when it becomes a pattern that says, and many have come through our church, some are no longer in our church, they're not going anywhere. Why? Because all of a sudden it took that temptation to say, well, taking the boat out just for a day, that's kind of dumb. Or the trailer out just for Friday, Saturday, I don't want to come back Sunday. And pretty soon, the things of the Lord, God's people, God's church become secondary. Doesn't have to be, but it can be. Or I'm going to miss this, or I'm going to miss life group because I've got this, or got this, or got that, or got this. It must be asked, what is it really necessary for? Money isn't evil, but greed is. I do want this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not money itself. We need money. Money makes the world go around. We as a church need money. All people need money. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Don't think money is. It's when we start becoming, that we become greedy, or what that will produce for us and in us, it becomes that way. Money isn't evil, but greed is. Money is just a thing. It is necessary. Yet we should control it, and it shouldn't control us. Proverbs talks about the blessing of receiving and giving. Receiving and giving. Obviously, we need to give. Some love giving. Some of you know the joy of giving. You know the blessing of giving. However, some of you can't receive very well. You think, what? Some of you can't conceive of that at all, that people can't receive very well. There's some of you who think, well, I don't need anything. God has blessed me. And yet when somebody tries to give you something in some way of blessing, whether it be anything, you say, nah, you just don't receive well. And yet when you don't receive well what God has told somebody else to help you with or give you, it could be a gift card, it could be whatever. Reality is you rob somebody else of the blessing of their giving. Are you with me? If somebody has, in their heart, God has said, I want you to bless this person by giving, then you need to honor that giving by saying, hey, receive it as unto the Lord. Say, thank you for that. Not give them a hard time. I don't need that. No. Know the blessing of receiving. Now, some of you receive too easily, and you never give. And that's not what he says. He says we give and receive, and he gives more so that we can give more. We receive more so that we can give more. Giving isn't always based on need. You may look at some people and say, well, they got money. I don't need to bless them at all. I don't need to give them anything. Why? What? Where does that happen? How about a card? How about a thank you note? How about an affirmation? In some other way, it just says, maybe I'm thinking of you, but we need to bless others and be generous within that. Unfortunately, this morning, some of you love slavery. You love slavery. Every one of us here would say, well, boy, we hate human slavery. We hate it. We just hate human slavery. And yet we place ourselves as slaves. We place ourselves. The Bible says if you have debt, you are not free. When you live a debt life, you are not free. What you owe owns you. And if you're in debt, newsflash, you owe it. You owe it. If you go out on that line and you buy all these things, that little plastic money, you owe it. And you're indebted to that. It owns you. That's the principles of Proverbs. That's why it says, be careful who you make yourself a slave to. Man, some of you young couples, Jacob and Morag, getting married here, and some of us other young couples, learn quickly. Don't get in that trap. Find the freedom and joy of not, it's not about what you make, it's about what you spend. Whether it be those who have very little, or some of you, some of you who have a lot, you fail most ridiculously at this. Because you spend and you spend when you really don't need to. Not bad, but you say, wait, do I need this? Because really, it comes down to the priority of a heart. And that's where, in the few moments we have, the priority of the heart. Chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. The greatest use of money is to honor God with it in various ways, with everything. Listen, folks, giving this morning, generosity is not a money issue. Giving to the things of the Lord is not a money issue. Giving to help the needs of others is not a money issue, but it is a heart issue. It's a heart issue. In fact, the Corinthians, Paul was taking an offering for the church of Jerusalem. He goes to Corinth and he says, he gave them an out. He said, you guys don't need to participate in this offering because you're poor. I look at you and you're poor. You don't need to. Other churches can take care of this. And the Corinthians says, whoa, wait a minute. Who are you to declare us poor? Who are you to rob us of the blessing of giving? And each man determined, as he tells us, to determine in our own heart what we are to give. Not that you're not to give, but that you are to give. Every one of us should be giving. Every one of us, biblically, should be giving. No excuses. Who do you love? Thank you. Yeah. Everyone. You better double your giving. Okay? Every one of us. Because the reality here is it's Corinthians gave, and it says they gave out of their poverty. Most generously. Because it wasn't a money issue. It was a heart issue. And they didn't want to be robbed of the blessing of being able to perform the act of giving, declaring to God thanks for what they have. Now listen, I'm not a legalist about giving. You guys know that. But I believe every person is to give based upon the word of God. I'm not a percent. I'm not going to tell you today you got to give this percent or that percent. Some of you, yes, you could give 10% and you'd still be robbing God. Because I believe, as he told the Corinthians, that each man determine in his own heart what to give, but that you're to give joyfully and hilariously. That's what we're to give. You mean I'm supposed to laugh about this? I'm supposed to have joy in giving? Absolutely. Not legalistic. You determine, but we give. We are part of that. But as the once famous movie line, a man must know his limitations. We must know the limitations of money. Listen, money can't save you. Money doesn't bring a whole lot of spiritual life inside you. It's only from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. God sacrificed and sent his son. Jesus took the form of a servant, became humble, and humbled himself to death, rose again that we might have life and have it to the fullest. And that full life has nothing to do with money. It's about the Spirit of God within us, knowing that we're forgiven, redeemed, justified, that we'll spend an eternity in heaven with him. But the principles of money found in Proverbs are to help us to live with joy and with freedom. It's temporal. This money fades, passes away. It cannot provide true security, and it doesn't make you you, as I've said already. What you have or don't have doesn't make you you. Everything is God's. Everything. Psalm 24 says, everything is God's. The world and everything in it is his. The very breath you're about to take is given to you by him. Therefore, we honor God with understanding that, and we give back to him. We're just managers of what God has given. So this morning, practice generosity. Giving leads to gain, but hoarding leads to not having. Do you have a mindset this morning to bless others? Do you have a mindset to say, God, make me a blessing to others, or is it about just keeping it all to yourself? We can know the limitations, but let me tell you, what can the purpose of God, the purpose of money, what can money do? First, he says it can honor him. We can honor him through our hearts. We can bless others. We can further God's work. And when used properly, it brings joy and freedom. We have some here in our church who know the joy of giving. We have those who I could go to right now, and they're sitting in this service, and they were in other service as well, that I could say, would you give us your testimony about giving? And man, they stand up right now and say, you can't outgive God. We shovel it out, and God shovels it in. He has a bigger shovel. And the joy that's given from helping others, the joy that's given from taking even out of our poverty to help someone else, the joy when others say, you don't have this to do this, but guess what? God's blessed me and I want to do this. The joy of sacrifice within that. How God blesses that, how he blesses us. I think sometimes, I do a lot of funerals, you guys know that. But I'm ready for U-Haul to build a hearse. You know, have you seen these big U-Haul trucks and they got pictures, you know, like all these places? I saw one this week, the Tetons, and painted on the side of their truck. I think we need a U-Haul hearse. My buddy Ramon's back there. He works with back in the funeral business. I mean, we need to do this, Ramona. U-Haul hearse with windows in it. We put the casket, and there's pictures of what we think are heaven and going to be. And on the side of that, they say, we can't take it with you. It's all staying here. Can't take it with you. Because we can't. However, you can invest it to reap rewards long after you're gone. You can invest your money in the lives of people. That's what is important. You can invest your money in the things of God in the church. You can invest your... Listen, some of you have the ability and have possessions for estate planning and estate giving and wills. You know, you need to consider God in that. I have. I don't need to leave it all to my kid, my grandkids. I say, no, God, I want your work to go further. I want your work to go on. And you know what? You don't need to worry about losing it because you're going to be dead. Maybe you could bless your kids more by not giving it to them. Now, if you're a kid here, you say, no, don't listen to that. But do we bless? Man, do we think of what, when we're gone, what could be left for our church and the things of God, mission organizations, and all the different things that are happening? So remember this morning, who do you love? Pastor? Come on up here, Jacob. You got that $2 bill? The challenge this morning is really not to love me. Some of you do. Some of you may not. So be it. But I want you to cross out, Pastor, there. The challenge this morning is remember who you love, because who we love should be God. And when we love God and the things of God, I love my God. And when we can say that, giving comes easy. It comes easy. Does it not? It does. Let's pray. Father God, this morning, may we walk out of here challenged to love you. Challenged to know you and make you known. And part of making you known is supplying the needs that others have. Meeting the needs that the church has. God, help us to understand the priorities and principles of Proverbs. May we realize that money is not bad, but it's how we use it and what we do with it. May we use it as a tool for that which is righteous and that which is good. You know our needs. I pray that you will meet them. Thank you for the testimony of those who have trusted you to give. Thank you for loving us this day. Thank you. I pray once again that you will honor the faith of those who follow the wisdom of Proverbs. For it's in your sons that we pray. Amen.